May we open our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, page 1002 in your Scofield Bible. And we'll be reading verses 7 through 15. Matthew 6, verse 7 through 15, and page 1002. As is our custom to do, let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Read the verses responsibly. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then this text verse, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Read together also 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And may we pray, please.
Our Heavenly Father, teach us a truth tonight we'll never forget. Teach us a truth tonight where we'll never be the same. Teach us a truth tonight that'll give us a better spirit. Teach us a truth tonight that'll change our lives. Teach us a truth tonight that you had in mind when you told us, after this manner ought we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven, in heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then help us, dear Lord, to know what you had in mind when you wrote, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As we focus the spiritual microscope on these truths tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're so limited in our understanding. We're so narrow in our vision of what the Bible really teaches to us. Most of us, when we think of this passage, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We limit our thinking to a few sins. Lead us not into drinking, but deliver us from alcohol. Lead us not into lust, but deliver us from sensuality. Lead us not into lying, deliver us from being untruthful. Lead us not into stealing, but deliver us from thievery. This is the narrow concept that most of us have concerning this part of the Lord's Prayer, as we call this prayer, model prayer. We're so limited in our understanding. Now, to be sure, it includes that. But this passage is so much greater than that. The word for temptation is testing. We think of the word temptation as being, I'm tempted to drink or curse or commit adultery or steal. But that's not what the word. The word is far larger than that. Lead us not into testing, but deliver us from evil. Now listen to me very, very carefully, because I'm going to throw some light tonight on the model prayer, or as we often say, I think erroneously, the Lord's Prayer, that I think you probably have never heard before. Lead us not in temptation, but the difference is evil. Let me paraphrase it. Lead us not where I will be tested. But if you do lead us where we are tested or to the place of testing, do not let us sin while being tested. Did you hear that? We're so limited, narrow in our understanding of the Scripture. This is not talking about just lead us not to be tempted to curse or to lie or cheat or steal or listen to rock music or go to the disco or tell a filthy story. It's not that's it, but that's not all of it. That's not even a little fraction of it. The Lord is saying we ought to pray, lead us not into testing, or lead me not where I will be tested. But if I am tested, now notice, if you do lead us where we're tested, Lord, let us not sin while we're being tested. Let me paraphrase it again. Dear Lord, I would prefer not to be tested, but if you think it best, let me take it. Now that's as near as I can paraphrase what that means. Lord, I would prefer not to be tested, but if you think it best that I am tested, then let me take it. It means, Lord, don't let me be tested, but if you do let me be tested, let me not turn back. That's what it's saying. It's not talking just about, Lord, lead us not to be tempted to go to an adult movie. It's not talking. Now, that's in it, but that's one little one millionth of it. Any kind of testing. Any kind. It may be a financial testing. It may be a physical testing. It may be an emotional testing. It may be a homesickness. It may be a testing about being tempted to yield to that which is wrong. It's a big, wide scope here. Lord, don't let me go where I will be tested. But if you do let me go where I am tested, Lord, let me take it and don't let me turn back. He's saying, Lord, if I go to college, if I can't pay my bill, lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Evil of what? Evil from turning back. Lord, if I'm tested, don't let me gripe. If I'm tested, don't let me complain. If I'm tested, don't let me get bitter. If I'm tested, don't let me turn back. If I'm tested, don't let me turn to sin. If I'm tested, don't let me do that which is wrong. Lord, if you put me in a place of testing, I prefer you wouldn't. But if you do, don't let me take it wrongly. Don't let me get bitter. Listen, I know people by the dozens. I've talked to them this week who say, preacher, I've been going through some rough times, and I'm having a hard time not being bitter. That is one of the silliest things I've heard of in my life. For a God to give his son to die for you on the cross and you to get bitter about him or to him about anything is utter folly, ridiculous, and it's sin. I mean, the very thought that God gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for you, and Jesus dipped his own soul in the torments of hell for you. And then because some little day it doesn't work out right for you, or you don't get the job you want, or the boyfriend you want, or you have a little illness you don't want, or you don't get the house you want, or you don't make the grades you want, or some little something comes in your life, you get bitter at the loving, compassionate, omniscient, omnipresent God of gods, King of kings, and Lord of lords, when he gave his son for you. I don't care if nothing else ever happened to you that's good. Brother, if God gave his son dipped his own soul into hell, you ought to be praising his name forever. All these circumstantial bitternesses that come in our hearts. Listen, I wouldn't go far if I started right here and went down this aisle tonight. I wouldn't go far before I came to somebody who has an excuse, not a reason, to be a little bitter about life. The clouds have come, the heartaches have come, the burdens have come, the sorrows have come. The difficult times have come, the midnights have come, the clouds have come, and a person says, I'm being tested. And so the Lord said, when you pray this prayer, he said, Lord, I would prefer that I not be tested. But Lord, if I am tested, help me to take it. That's what Job said. Job lost his his children. He lost his well. He lost his camel. He lost his donkeys. He lost his sheep. He lost his friends. He lost the loyalty of his wife. And the Bible said, yet in all these things Job sinned not. Now, this is not talking just about, Lord, don't let me get tempted or tested by a sin and deliver me from that evil. It's talking about, Lord, when testing comes, deliver me from any evil that testing might cause me to be tempted to commit. Oh, how big the scripture is and how little my finite minds are. This is what it said about Job. It said, in all these things Job sinned not. Job was tested. How? His children were taken. 10 of them. All 10 died, killed. But Job did not sin. He lost his health. And his disease of elephantiasis, a form of leprosy, ate his body up until he had to scrape himself with a piece of metal like I'd take a knife. And he sat out there in the ash heap of the city trying to get some comfort and took a piece of metal and scraped his flesh and scraped up the running sores on his body to give himself some relief and took the coals from the city garbage dump and put those burning coals against his flesh to get him some relief. And yet Job did not sin. Job did not get bitter. Job did not turn his back on God. Job did not doubt God. Job did not quit. Job did not complain to God. And then Job lost his wealth. He didn't complain to God. He did not sin. It is not talking about, lead us not into drinking, be tempted to drink, but deliver us from drinking. It is talking about that, but that's not all it's talking about. God is saying that we have a perfect right to come to God and say, dear God, I would prefer you wouldn't test me. I would prefer you wouldn't put me through trials. I would prefer I be in good health. I would prefer my family be in good health. I would prefer that our car run okay. I would prefer I not get laid off from work. I would prefer we not be in financial reversal. I would prefer our house wouldn't burn. I would prefer my child wouldn't have leukemia. I would prefer that my husband stays well. I would prefer not to be tested. But he said, after that, he said, after you've given your preference to God, sometimes God is going to let you... not let you be tested. He's going to lead you to be tested because in God's providential will for your life, God says, I'm going to lead you in the testing. Now, he said, if you do stand trial, if you are tested, if you are in trials, if you do face testing, he said, then do not become bitter. Do not go into sin. Do not turn your back on God. Do not quit your Sunday school class. Do not quit your bus route. Do not quit your school. Do not quit your service for God. Do not quit your soul winning. Do not quit your... Oh, you say, preacher, everything going bad. I may as well throw it all up in the sky and just drop the whole thing. God hadn't been... I'm having a hard time not being bitter at God. Why, you little puny insignificant peanut head, you, the very idea. God gives you the sun in the daytime, not here, but in the south, and God gives you water to drink and air to breathe, not here but out west. And God gave his son, and the Lord Jesus came and left heaven and came to earth and was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he was despised and rejected of men. Foxes had their holes and birds had their nests, and the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And then he was betrayed into wicked hands and led to the high priest and mocked and taken on to Pilate and on to Herod, who laughed at him and scoffed at him, and taken back to Pilate and beaten to the cat of nine tails and falsely tried and wrongly judged and nailed to a cross and put on that cross between heaven and earth. And they slapped him and spat upon him. He had no the King of Kings with no crown but a crown of thorns, and no throne but a cross, and no royal robe but an old borrowed overcoat, and no scepter but an old walking stick. And there he is. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the soul of Jesus Christ went into hell and suffered the sum total of hell that all of us would have suffered if every one of us had gone to hell for eternity. And he gave his life and suffered that much hell for you and me. And God says, in the name of Christ, how can any of us ever be bitter at a wonderful God like that? No way. No way. Father, I would prefer not to be tempted, but if I am tempted, don't let me sin in it. Don't let me turn back. Don't let me get bitter. Don't let me throw in the towel. Don't let me throw it all up in the air. Don't let me hang it all. Let me stay true as Job did. The person that didn't pray this prayer was Job's wife. It's been a long time since I've reminded you of this, but nothing in the Bible tickles me any more than this story right here. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, I lead me not into temptation, but you did, but I'll trust anyway. He said, when his children died, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When he lost his wealth and lost his camels and lost his donkeys and lost his sheep and lost his oxen, Job said, I know that my dream liveth, and he'll stand again at the last day. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And his wife came and said, Yeah, you've been serving God. Look how you turned out now. Boy, you think makes you mad. You're some little peanut-head Christian to say that. Yeah, look at that. You've been serving God. Now you haven't got a job. Well, you may not have a job, but you got a home in heaven. Yeah. Hey, look at that. Your family's not well. You're not well. You had the flu all winter. Everybody's had the flu all winter. I never have seen anything linger in my life like this thing has lingered this year. I mean, I've had it since 1964. You know, I told some folks the other day down south, I drink carrot juice. I drink apple juice. I take natural one-a-day vitamins. I take cod liver oil. I take garlic oil several times a day. I take ginseng. I take vitamin E. I take vitamin C. I take 18 alfalfa tablets a day. And I'm a physical wreck. Bless God, I'm going to get me some pizza after church tonight. I mean, brother, if I'm going to be sick, I'm going to enjoy it. Tired of eating little pills like manna from heaven. I even take honey. What's that little bit tablet? What? No, I take that too. But in the honey. Bee pollen. Yeah, I even take bee pollen. Doesn't do any good. All it does, all in the world I'm doing is keeping a recession from coming because I'm keeping so much money on the market circulating, buying that stuff. But, look at there. Yeah, you serve God, yeah. Look at, you haven't got any money. Yeah, you're getting old now. Haven't got laid away for a rainy day, yeah. Yeah, you've been serving God. And people redeemed by the blood of Calvary with heaven for their home and God for their Father and Christ for their Savior. And the Bible is their book and the Holy Spirit is their power. Dare point their little insignificant finger to God and say, you haven't been good to me. Why, bless your heart. You're going to live in heaven as long as the God. And you're going to walk down golden streets and gates of pearl and live in a mansion especially prepared for you. How dare you ever look up and say, God, you haven't been good to me. Now you have a perfect right to come to God and say, I prefer not to be tried. But when I am tried and tested, then lead, deliver me from evil. This is what Jesus meant in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was giving his preference. Then he said, but if not possible, he said, let thy will, not mine, be done. It's exactly what he's praying. The Lord deliver me from testing, but he said, if not, then I will not sin. I'll say it's your will, not mine. And if you will not let this cup pass from me, I want what you want done, not what I want done. Thy will be done. Let me paraphrase it. For your life. Lead us not into unemployment. But if you do, let us take it properly. I am so sick of whiners. I am so sick of yellow-bellied cowards and Benedict Arnolds. Now I'll tell you something. If you and I got what we deserve, we'd all burn in hell forever. Anything less than that is the grace of God. And I'm saying that God is saying here, Lord, I would prefer to have a job. I'd prefer not to be unemployed. But if I don't have a job. And if you lead me to the unemployment line and the unemployment check, Lord, let me take it properly. Lead us not into an attic apartment. Where are we in? We in a share apartment with the rodent family. And we're the only thing bigger than the rodents or the cockroaches. And where the children ride them. Lead us not into an attic apartment. But if you do lead us to an attic apartment, I'll not gripe to my husband. And I'll not... Somebody's there, boy. I mean, that part of the message, somebody really praise God for. Lord, lead me to a nice apartment with carpet on the floor. And Lord, lead me to a... Lead me not to an apartment that does not have wall-to-wall floor. But Lord, if you do lead me there, I'll clean it up. I'll make the most of it. I'll spray the roaches out, or either that, or I'll get a gun and shoot them. And I'll take the rats down to the zoo and put them in cages. And I'll paint the walls. And I'll do what I can to doctor it up. And Lord, I'll not let my husband hear me gripe. I'll not let my children hear me complain. Lord, I have a preference now. I would rather not be in that little dingy, dark apartment with a 5-watt light bulb. I'd rather not be there, Lord. But if I am there, deliver us from evil. Deliver me from sin. It does not mean deliver me from the same sin that I'm tested or tempted to do. It means when I am tempted or tested or tried, deliver me from any sin that may come because I am not taking it properly. Lead us not to be a widow. Lead me not to be a widow. Lead me not to hear the news that my husband was taken prematurely. Lead me not to stand by a casket, look in the face of my young husband or my middle-aged husband. Lead me not to have to rear my children by myself. Lead me not to have to go to work myself and be the sole breadwinner for my children. Lead me not to be a little widow. Lead me not to have to live alone. Lead me not, when I'm old, to live in a house or apartment by myself. Lead me not to be a widow. But, Lord, if you do in your omniscient plan choose that I have to be a widow, help me not to sin. Help me to take it gracefully and graciously. Lead me not into this trial, but deliver me from evil and the accompanying temptation to evil that comes when I'm tested and tried. Boy, I thank God for those little widows in this church. Some 7 years. Some 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95 years old. I thank God for them. I thank God for those middle-aged ladies whose husbands have been taken prematurely. And those young ladies who become the mother and father both to little children when you're just young. My heart goes out to you. But I praise God that many of you have said, Lord, I would prefer not to be a widow. I would prefer this not happen to me. But Lord, since it has happened to me, deliver me from complaining. Deliver me from bitterness. Deliver me from not accepting it, and deliver me from having a bad spirit about my lot in life. Now, that's what the Lord meant when he said, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He meant what you thought it meant. He meant more than you thought it meant. He meant any kind of testing or trial through which a child of God has to go in it. Let us take it gracefully and graciously and not sin and be delivered from sin. What does it mean? Lord, lead me not to be unmarried. Boy, that's a prayer that I bet you a lot of you are praying. A little girl came the other day to me, 19 years old. She said, should I get married? And I said, how old are you? She said, 19. I said, I think I'd wait a while. And she said, preacher, I'm afraid this will be my last chance. There's two things wrong with that. If you marry anybody because it's your last chance, you're a fool. And secondly, you, 19 is not exactly the threshold of becoming an old maid or a young maid. I'm saying, I think you have a perfect right, young ladies, to say, lead me not into being single. Lead me not to be unmarried. But if you do not choose for me to get married, and if you lead me into a life of being unmarried, I will accept it. I will not complain. I'll not charge God. I'll not be bitter. I'll not sin. I'll accept my lot in life and thank God for it. Lead me not to being a college wife. Lead my husband not to surrendering his life to preach when he's 30 years old or 35 years old. Lead me not to give up my nice little cottage back home. Lead me not to give up my nice furniture back home. Lead me not to give up our nice little car back home and drive an old jalopy here in Hammond. Lead me not to go away to college. Lead me not to have to live without my husband much of the time. Lead me not to be at home at night while he works and at day while he's in school. Lead me not. Now, you have a right to pray that. Listen, you have a perfect right to present your petition to God and tell God what your preference is. But if God does lead you to be a college wife, he said, pray, deliver us from evil. Don't let me take it ungracefully. I do not know of anything that must be contemptible in the sight of God more than complaining. If your name is written in heaven, boy, that's enough to keep you shouting from now on. I mean, if your sins are forgiven, that's enough to keep you praising God. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Let me tell you something, buddy. If your sins are beneath the blood of Christ, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, every burden of my heart rolled away, every sin had to go neath the crimson flow, if your sin tonight had been buried in the deepest sea and separated from you as far as the east is from the west, and as high as the highest star, if God has forgiven you and written your name in heaven and declared you as righteous as his own dear son, and you stand tonight justified in the sight of a holy and righteous and just God, you have no right to complain. Lead me not to have illness in my... Look at me now. That's one reason why I want the baby in the nursery, because you look at the baby instead of me. Listen. Lead me not. Listen, you folks need this. Half this crowd tonight is in desperate need of this message. And the other half needs it some. Oh, how we need this. I was thinking this afternoon that scripture says, in everything give thanks, rejoice. Always, I say, rejoice. Lead me not to an illness in my family. Lead me not to the hospital to stand beside my baby day by day. Lead me not to a child that has leukemia. Lead me not to a husband that has cancer. Lead me not to an illness in my family. Lord, I ask you, I'd prefer not. But Lord, if you want to lead me to illness, I'll take it gracefully. I'll take it rejoicing in it and thank God. Listen. I'll thank God if I have to go beside the hospital bed and see someone dear to me wilt away. I'll thank God that as a Christian, I have the comforter living right in here. I thank God that I have the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. I thank God that I have, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let me tell you, in any circumstance of life, God has provided for his children. Lead me not into serious illness, but Lord, if I am led into serious illness, deliver me from evil. Don't let me take it wrongly. Don't let me get bitter. Don't let me get harsh. Don't let me get have a bad spirit. Don't let me feel sorry for myself. Lead me not into an unhappy home situation. Lead me not where my mother and daddy fuss all the time. Lead me not where my dad leaves home and gets a divorce from my mother. Lead me not to having an unhappy home situation. But if you do lead me there, let me not feel self-pity. Let me not feel sorry for myself. Let me not be bitter. Let me not have hurt feelings. Let me not sin, even though you lead me into this trial or this testing. Lead me not into being unable to have a child. You have a perfect right to come to God and pray for God to give you a child. In my office, I pray at least, I'm sure, a dozen times a month, anoint people, anoint a man and a woman or one or the other with oil. And I pray that God will give life to the seed of the man and open the womb of the lady and give a baby. But I always say, if God does not see fit, we're going to have to agree to love Him anyway. God's way is always the best way. Lord, I'd prefer to have a baby. You pray. Lead me not into being barren. Lead me not into being unable to have children. Lead me not into being never hearing somebody, a little child, say, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. Lord, lead me not into having a life without a crib and a life without a little child growing up and without a PTA meeting and without a open house at the school and without a graduation and without a Sunday school party and without the first pulling the first tooth. Lord, lead me not to miss all that. But if you do lead me to miss all that, I can still thank God I'm an American. I can still thank God I'm saved. I can still thank God He's my Father. I can still thank God that Jesus is my Savior. I can still thank God that I have the Holy Spirit in me. I can still thank God I'm not in Haiti starving to death. I can still thank God I'm not in Cambodia without any food to eat. I can still thank God I'm not a woman that has a baby in India tugging at a barren and empty breast and starving to death and watching my baby bolt to death and starve to death. I can thank you in everything. Give thanks, the Bible says. And again I say, rejoice. Lead me not into having to rear my children alone. Lead me not into having to do all the scolding and the disciplining. Lead me not into having to be a father and a mother. But if you do lead me into rearing my children alone, I'll not sin. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from complaining. Deliver me from bitterness. Lead me not to being slandered or the object of hatred. Lead me not to be the object of gossip. Lead me not the object of criticism. But if you do lead me to the testing of being criticized and being hated, being slandered, and being lied about, I won't get that. I have heard so many people in this church say, well, the house, I'm doing my best and people criticize me. I just want to ditch it all and quit. Boy, you're an Elijah, aren't you? Your name be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. The captain of your salvation was a man of sorrows, despised and rejected of men. They put the most malicious lies out about the captain of your salvation known to man, and by the way, they still are. Every time I read Nell's F.S. Foray's rotten, read it, write it. I'm here about it, where he said that Jesus was not virgin-born. He was probably the son of a blonde German soldier stationed somewhere near Nazareth. I want to find the place that printed that book and burn it down. He's still being slandered. He's still being tried. He's still being tested. But when he was despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, the Bible says he opened not his mouth. He has led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Lord, I would prefer not to be criticized, and I would. Lead me not into folks misunderstanding me. Lead me not into people thinking I'm a money grabber. Lead me not into people spreading lies. Lead me not to get all these nasty letters I get. Lead me not, dear Lord, into being falsely accused. But if you do, I'll just count it all joy to become identified with him who was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and despised and rejected of men. But lead me not to sin when I am criticized. Lead me not to my daddy leaving home. Lead me not to my dad leaving my mother and us, letting us live alone without a daddy. Lead me not to go to school and say my daddy's not at home. Lead me not to sit in church and realize that all the other daddies are here, most of them, and my daddy's not here. Lead me not have to grow up without a daddy. But if you do lead me to grow up without a daddy, help me not to become bitter. Help me not to complain about the circumstances in life. You led me there. All things do work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. And so lead us not, lead me not into this testing. But if you do lead me there, deliver me from evil. Lead me not to my daddy dying. Lead me not to seeing my daddy buried when I'm only a child or a teenager. Lead me not to look at a picture on the hearth or on the table and say, that's my late father. Lead me not to have to grow up with my daddy already gone to heaven. But Lord, if you do lead me that, and if that's your choice for my life, and if that is the will of God for my life, and you lead me there, Lord, don't let me be bitter about it. Don't let me complain about it. Don't let me gripe about it. And Lord, let me be a good son or daughter to my mother, because she's got a double responsibility now. Lead me not into cancer. Lead me not into financial strain. Lead me not into a broken heart. Lead me not into a sad life. Lead me not into a grievous circumstance. Lord, lead me not into trial. Lead me not into testing. But if you do, deliver me from the evil of being bitter, complaining, griping, turning back, giving up. In summary, 5 thoughts. 1, we all need testing. And you would not be a well-rounded person, and you will not be the Christian that you could become if God never let you be tested. We all need testing. Point number 2, it is natural for us not to prefer it. If I had my way, I'd never have a testing again. If I had my way, I'd never have a midnight again. If I had my way, I'd never have a cloudy day again. If I had my way, I'd never have a heartache again. If I had my way, I'd never bear a burden again. So, it is natural for us not to prefer it. 3, we have a right to ask God to not lead us to it and help us avoid it. 4, God sometimes is going to feel like you need it, and God's going to give it to you. And 5, we are to ask Him to help us not to sin when the testing comes. Illustration. I was a pastor, doing my best. It wasn't much, but it was my best. I felt like God had saved my daddy. And then one morning, out of a clear blue sky, when I just got back from preaching at a radio station, a sermon on a radio telling folks about Jesus, I went home and the phone call came that my daddy was dead, died with alcohol on his breath and an empty bottle of whiskey in his pocket, and as far as I know, died without God. Now, I had a perfect right to ask God not to lead me to that testing. And I'll be honest with you, for about 2 or 3 hours, bitterness swelled up in my soul. And I said, dear Lord, that's not right. I'm a preacher. I've gone away to school. I've given my all, and you know it the best I know how. I've done it, and you know it. That's not right. But then I started counting the blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, angel will attend. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And I counted my blessings and said, Lord, if I've got to go through this, I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to take this as from you. And anybody that knows Jack Hiles knows this, that the greatest propulsion I ever had in my life was the death of my dad. Illustration. Sits over here tonight a little lady, Mrs. Bartell, preacher's wife. She had a perfect right to say, Lord, lead me not into widowhood. Let my husband live long as I do. Let us share the ministry many more years together. Lord, lead me not into this testing, but the Lord led her into that testing, and she had to lay her husband's body in the grave, and she had to do without it the rest of her life. But bitter? No. As sweet as angelic love, that's what came. Lead me not into temptation, Lord. But if you do, deliver me from evil, deliver me from misunderstanding, deliver me from a bad spirit, deliver me from being critical of you, deliver me from tossing everything up in the air, deliver me from ditching it all, deliver me from giving up, deliver me from turning back, deliver me from evil. Illustration. Sets over here tonight, you, if you're not there, I'll be surprised. The Dave Giffords. They had a precious little boy. The little boy died in his crib. They had a perfect right to say to the Lord, deliver us from testing. But Lord, since the testing came and our boy was taken, and the crib was left empty, dear Lord. I got a letter the other day from Ron Perkey and Sarah. Ron was a deacon in this church years ago. God called Ron to preach. He went away to college, graduated, pastored several churches, worked on our staff here for a while. They had a little baby. Baby died, was buried in Babyland. Had a second baby. Baby lived a little longer than the first and died, was taken to Babyland. Two babies, all three gone. Had a precious little baby. I can recall in the old building before it burned, in that balcony, they'd sit with that little baby. And the baby began to look a little abnormal, look a little wrong. The look in his eyes wasn't good, and soon they found the baby. Was something wrong with it mentally, and after a while, the baby was taken, and now three times to Babyland, and three cribs to empty, and three deaths. They had a right to say, Lord, deliver us from this testing, but since the testing came, Lord, don't let us get bitter about it. Illustration. Tom Fetters in this church. Fine young son. It's Tom. Fine young son. Suddenly discovered he has leukemia. No, Hodgkin's disease. Hodgkin's disease. Any young couple in this room has a perfect right to come to your God and say, God, deliver my boy and my girl from Hodgkin's disease. You have a perfect right to do that. Deliver us from cancer. Deliver my boys and my children from serious illness. You have a right to do that. But if I understand the Lord's or the model prayer correctly, God is saying, we pray that, and yet there is a time when God leads us. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Yes, He does. But sometimes God leads His dear children in barren deserts, too. And sometimes God leads His dear children over rocky terrain, too. And sometimes God leads His dear children around the sharpest of curves or through a mountain pass, too. God leads His dear children in hospital halls and cemeteries too. God leads His dear children along. In sickness and heartache and widowhood too, God leads His dear children along. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou knowest my... Well, back yonder earlier it says... says, thou makest me to lie down in green pastures. What does it mean? Here's a little lamb. The shepherd notices the lamb is not in the fold. Shepherd leads the fold, goes out on the mountain, brings the little lamb back to the fold. Little lamb leaves again the next day or the next night. And shepherd goes out again and gets the little lamb and brings it back. Little lamb comes back the next time. The shepherd puts it back in the fold. For the shepherd knows it. The lamb's gone again. Goes out on the mountains, the hillside again. Shepherd goes out and gets it and comes back. And then oftentimes the shepherd would take a little leg of that little lamb. And the shepherd would take it over his knee. And like you'd crack a little stick, would crack the leg of that little lamb. And that little lamb had to lie down. It could not run off again. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And sometimes if we keep going astray, the dear Lord Jesus has to take us and break our leg and make us lie down in green pastures. Lord, lead me not into having my leg broken, but if you do, help me to enjoy the green pasture. and help me not to complain, and help me to rejoice that there was a purpose in it all. Illustration. One day there came to me a request for an appointment, a preacher down in eastern Indiana. He drove all the way from, I guess, near Fort Wayne. We had an appointment one night, a rather lengthy one. And he said, "Brother Hiles, I've served as a missionary, but," he said, "I've come back, and I'm not well." He said, "I think God wants me to serve in America now." He said, "Brother Hiles, maybe I ought to pastor or something." His name was Bruick. We talked for a long time. Finally, I offered him a job teaching school in our grade school. He accepted that job and did a splendid job teaching Hammond Baptist schools. And then one day he found out he was sick, went to the doctor. The doctor said he had cancer, and he gradually wilted away. He got so weak he couldn't stand up or couldn't even sit up. He would come in this little room over here on the side and crawl in and lay down on the carpet in that well, on that well-used carpet in that room right there, so he could hear me preach on the PA system. He'd lay down and crawl out of the room. And soon he was taken on to heaven. He had a perfect right to say, "Lord, lead me not to cancer. Lead me not to this testing. Lead me not to this trial. But Lord, if you do, deliver me from evil in it." And the Lord did deliver him from evil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, testing is going to come. It may not have come to you yet, but it's going to come. It may be all sunshine, but the sun's going to set on your life one of these days. It may be all noonday, but the sun will continue to move and travel toward the west. And someday, your testing is going to come. I don't know what the testing is going to be, but it's going to come. Now, when it does, or since it has, and you say, "Deliver me from evil." Illustration. You, who here tonight has said, "Lead me not into testing," and you have a right to say it, and that's okay. But who here has not continued that prayer and says, "Lord, don't let me sin when testing comes. Lead me not to the place of testing, but if you do lead me into a place of testing, Lord, don't let me sin. Deliver me from evil." And ask a question, senior citizen. How are you bearing up under the trials of your latter years? My children don't treat me right. Boy, look what I've done. And die a bitter death someday and live a bitter old age. Why? Because in your testing, you've not been delivered from evil. Brother, if I live to be 100 years old and spend the last 20 years of my life rotting in Lake County home for the aged, I still have no right to be bitter. Because my God's been so good to me. How about you, folks in the mid-years of life? Testing? You found the natural, normal clouds that come in the mid-years? Life is not all cheers and rah, rah, rah and 15 for team and hoopee. It's reality. And you're facing the bitter trials and burdens and heartaches and testing of life. What kind of spirit do you have? Been complaining? Think you don't have it real good? Been bitter against God? Or bitter against circumstances? Or bitter against life? Or bitter against somebody? You better pray, "Lead me not into temptation. But if you do, deliver me from evil." How about you, young person? Life is not all you think it ought to be. God didn't make you as attractive as He did some of the other young ladies. He put your eyes too far apart. Forgot to reshape your nose before you left. Gave you a body like a milk bottle or 7-Up. You don't have all of the riches of life. Your mom and dad can't afford to buy you a new dress for every activity.
Oh, I can't. I don't see why I can't have. Everybody else has one.
The Lord's talking to you here. He's talking to you.
I don't understand it. Why can't I have it?
What you ought to be doing is say,
thank God!
I'm not a teenager in Soviet Russia tonight.
Thank God! I'm not a teenager in Haiti tonight. Thank God!
I'm not a teenager in Vietnam tonight.
Thank God!
I'm not a teenager in Cambodia tonight. Thank God. I don't have what everybody else has, but thank God I have more than most people have, and I have more than I deserve. How about it, college student? Huh? How about it, child? We have a perfect right to say, Father, lead me not into trials. Lead me not into testings. Lead me not into widowhood. Lead me not into having a father leave. Lead me not into having being an orphan. Lead me not into losing my job. Lead me not into having a serious illness in my family. Lead me not into having to be unmarried the rest of my life. Lead me not into having to be the breadwinner for my children because my husband's gone. Lead me not into testing. But dear God, if you choose in your omniscience to lead me into testing, dear Lord, let me take it gracefully and graciously. And let me rejoice evermore, and in everything let me give thanks. And deliver me from bitterness. And deliver me from turning back. And deliver me from self-pity. And deliver me from tossing it all up in the air and going into some sin because I've been tested. Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. I pray it'll be a ringing indictment toward those who are guilty and great encouragement toward those who've already prayed this prayer and live it out.